This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We're continuing in Daf Hashuah Masechet Ketubos. We still are doing Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, making up for last week. The Mishnah brought a number of cases. The Mishnah brought a case where if the woman committed herself to bring 1,000 dinar into the marriage, so he accepts to pay 15 mana. 15 mana is basically 1,500 dinar. So she has to increase it by 50%. But if she brings into the marriage hashum, which is items that are evaluated, so then he has to accept himself. He accepts to pay, if the marriage is dissolved, a fifth less. Who paiseich pachis chaimesh. Now, the Mishnah continues that if shum b'mane, if the items were evaluated for a mane, and they were worth a mane, so then he only gets a mane. What does that mean, he only gets a mane? So basically, what could be included in a marriage dowry is things that could be used, and those things that are used, items that are used, go down in value. So therefore, he accepts upon himself a fifth less because of depreciation. Or even items that are not used, and there's no issue that it's going to go down in value, the reason why he accepts a fifth less is for the following reason. Because the ones who evaluate what she brings into the marriage, the Rashi uses a lashon of the Zamemute Chasan in the base Chasanim, they evaluate it, they exaggerate the value. So therefore he only has to accept upon himself 80% of it. So he accepts upon himself a fifth less. And the Mishnah gives many examples of this. So shum b'mane, if the chasan accept items that were evaluated for mane, so she has to give a fifth more. What does that mean? She has to pay 31 sela and a dinar. So basically, if the chasan accepted a mana's worth, she has to give him 1.25 of a mana. So he is responsible for a fifth less. Uva arba meos, if let's say he accepts 400 dinar, she has to give 500 dinar. The Mishnah says that whatever the chasan accepts upon himself, so it's a fifth less than whatever it was evaluated at. So it ends up, the Mishnah says this four times. The Mishnah repeats the same thing four times. First, the Mishnah says, for a shum, he pays a fifth less. Then, if he accepts items that are, let's say, estimated for a mana, she gives him 31 sela and a dinar, which is 1.25 mana. Then the Mishnah says that if he accepts a shum for 400, she has to give 500. And then it says whatever he accepts, he pays a fifth less. So basically it says the exact same thing four times. So the Gemara wants to know, before it deals with...
By the cash, why isn't that considered her to be? If he's going to have to give her basically 50% more, why would
right.
he consider
that? Why isn't it Ribbis if she brings into the marriage 1,000 that he's committed to make up 1,500? Perhaps because it's not really a loan. She's not lending it to him. It's her money. And he has the right to use it. He's not borrowing it. He's not borrowing the money. It's his. It's his money. Right. Here it's Gufa Kishtai. Right? Exactly. It's his. He's entitled to it. The only thing is that if it dissolves, then he loses his entitlement. So what does he have to do? Is he paying back a debt, or is he giving back something that he was allowed to take, but now it turns out that he was not allowed to take it? So I'm not 100% sure, but it could be we don't view it as a borrowing and paying back a debt, but it's something that he was allowed to use, and now it's something that he's not entitled to anymore. So if he was allowed to use it, he was allowed to use something that has a value of more than 1,000 zuz, because he had rights to liquid cash immediately that has more value. Okay, so Gemara says like this. Because basically the Mishnah said that if you have a guy, a father-in-law makes up, he says to his son-in-law, I'm going to give you $1 million for marrying my daughter. And then he dies, and then the chassan's brother walks in, so the father-in-law is allowed to say, I only made up to give to your brother, not to you. So Tan Rabbana Ein Sach Lomar Rishon Tam Chacham Sheni Amares. You don't need to say if the first guy is a Talmud Chacham and the second guy is an Am Haaretz, the father-in-law could say, I never meant to give you this money. Elafilu Rishon Am Haaretz Rishon Talmud Chacham. Even if the first guy is unlearned and the second guy is a Talmud Chacham, Yachalaymar, the father-in-law could say, La'achicha Yisra Reitzlita, I want to give to your brother. May I like your brother better? He had a nice tie. I don't like your tie. In fact, you don't even wear a tie. So I don't want to give you the money. So, to you, I don't want to give. Basically, a father-in-law always has the right to say, I only meant to make up to give money to the first guy, who to the deceased. Now the Mishnah is going to deal with why, now the Gemara is going to deal with why the Mishnah basically said the same din four times. Paska lahachnis lai elef dinar. If the bride decided that she's going to give 1,000 dinar. Actually, you know, the Gemara is not even discussing this case now. The Gemara is going to discuss the other cases of the four cases of Shum. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Reisha, it's the same as the first case. But why, in other words, why does it have to say it four times? It says the halacha by Shum and repeats it in different verbiage four different times. So the Gemara says each one of these four times is to teach something different. Tana Shumaraba, Vikatani Shumazuta. It talked about a big estimation and it talked about a small estimation. What does that mean? First it says, Ukeneged Hashum Hu Paisek Pachos Chaimesh. That case of Ukeneged Hashum is going back on the case of where the bride agrees to bring in 1,000 dinar. So, and then the Mishnah says, if it's an estimation, then he agrees to a 1/5 less. But it sounds like it's going on the case of 1,000 dinar. So it's going on a case of a big estimate. So case number one is a big estimate. Then case number two Shum b'maneh hu noisen shloshim ve'echad sela is a smaller estimate. That case is a small estimate. So case one and two is a small estimate. Then, Tana Shumadideh, it teaches when he makes the estimate, and it talks about where she makes the estimate. Because the first case, let's say, and the last case, we're talking about he did the estimate. Because the last case in the Mishnah is the chasan is poisek. If he did the estimate, you would think, I don't know, if he did the estimate, it's not over-exaggerated, because he's the one who has to take responsibility. So we say, no, even there he gives a third less. And then we talk about the second and third case, is she's doing the estimate. Because in the third case we find, he noy sen es v'dinar. And then, the second case, certainly, she made the estimate. So you would think if she made the estimate, it's even more inflated, and maybe he has to give more than a fifth. So basically, we pick four cases, one a big, small. In other words, maybe if it's a very big estimate, then there's room to exaggerate it. But if it's a small estimate anyway, maybe there's no room to make it bigger, or maybe when it's small, then we want to make it bigger for her honor. It's maybe embarrassing to her, but if it's big, we wouldn't necessarily make it bigger. What we're learning is that the factors are irrelevant, whether it's a big estimate, a small estimate, he made it, she made it, it's always a fifth. His responsibility is a fifth less. Okay, next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to talk about she's bringing cash into the marriage. Says the Holy Mishnah, Paskal Hachnas L'Ksafim, if the Kala commits herself to bring money into the wedding as the basically, she's bringing as the nad and as the dowry. Sala nasna shisha dinarim. Her sela, which is 4 dinar, becomes 6 dinar. Basically, he's responsible to pay 50% more because of his immediate use of the cash. The hachasan mekabel alav 10 dinarim lekupa, and the chasan is mekabel upon himself to pay 10 dinar for her box. Now what does this mean? We can see what it means for her kishutim, for her makeup. So the chasan is makabel 10 dinar for the kupa. In what case? The chamana umana. For every mana she brings in, the chasan accepts upon himself to give her 10 dinar for her jewelry. So a mana is 100 dinar. For every 100 dinar that she brings in to the wedding, he has to give her 10 dinar for makeup. Rav Shin Gamliel, Rav Shin Gamliel says, HaKol Kamin Kamadina. Everything is in accordance with the practice. Okay, now, why are we repeating again that if she brings cash into the wedding, he has to accept at a rate of 50% more? Says Gemara, Hainu. That is the exact same thing as Paisei Kenegdem Chamishasar Mana. We just had that in the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah just said that if you bring in 1,000, you got to give 1,500. So what exactly is the need for the repetition over here? Right? We had, if he makes up, let's say, if she brings in 1,000 dinar, he has to pay 15 mana. 1,500 dinar. Says the Gemara, Tana iska rabba, Tana iska zuta. So the Tana teaches, if it's a large business arrangement, meaning 1,000 dinar, Tana iska zuta, and taught, if it's a small amount of business, Tzricha, I need both. Di Tana iska rabba, if we just talk about a large business, meaning 1,000 dinar, then nafesh ravcha. Maybe because you can make a lot of profit. So therefore, he stands to gain. Aval iska zuta, but if it's a small amount of business, of money that she's bringing in, the zuta rafa, the small amount of profit, emalai, I would say he doesn't have to add so much. So tzricha, therefore, I have to bring a case of where she's bringing in even a small amount. V'yashvina iska zuta, and if it would just teach a case where she's bringing a small amount of cash, the zuta ziyuna, because if she's bringing out a small amount of cash, the ziyuna, the mechayvim, the obligations are small. Therefore what? There are less expenses involved. Less expenses involved, he doesn't have to commit to so much. Abla iska rabba. In other words, maybe there are less expenses, so then he commits to so much more. Because he doesn't have so many expenses dealing with the money. Aval iska rabba, but if she's bringing in a lot of cash, the nafer zuna, where there are a lot of expenses, emalai, I would think he doesn't have to add so much because he has a lot of expenses dealing with so much money. Tzricha, so I need it. I need both of it. I need both of these cases. Now the Mishnah says that a chasan, for every 100 mana she brings in, he has to give her 10 mana worth for makeup. Says Gemara, my kupa. What does the word kupa mean here? What is that referring to? Amravashi kupa shabasamim. A box of perfume. Amravashi lo nemar dvar melel el Yishlaim. This was only said in the city of Yishlaim where they wore perfume, they wore makeup. By Ravashi wanted to know. The Mishnah said that for every 100 mana that's brought in, he accepts 10 manat to give her of makeup. What does it mean for every 100 mana that's brought in? Does it mean b'mana hanisham, a mana that's evaluated, or a b'mana hamiskaba, or the mana that he accepts upon himself? What does that mean? Because the amount the chassan accepts upon himself is a fifth less. So is it the 100 that she brings in, or is it 100 per every 100 that he accepts upon himself, which is one fifth less? And imtim tzolaimer mana hamiskaba, if you say that's talking about what he accepts upon himself, so yom rishayin I call yom v'yom. Does he give her cosmetics for every 100 mana? The first day that she brings in, I b'chol yom v'yom, or does he have to provide her daily for every 100 mana? Im tim salam kol yomim, if you say it's daily, is it Shabbos Rishon HaShoi kol Shabbos v'Shabbos? Does he have to do it only for the first week or every subsequent week? Im tim salam kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, if it's every subsequent week, Chodesh Rishon, is it only the first month? I kol Chodesh v'Chodesh, or is it every year? And im tim salam kol Chodesh, I'm sorry, is it every week or is it even every month? And even if you want to say it's every month, Shana Rishana, is only in the first year, I call Shana Vashana, or every single year, he has to provide her for every mana she brings in, 10 mana of makeup. So Teku, so it stands, or Elio Anavi will give us the conclusion regarding this question. Now we have a very interesting story about the wealthy Nachdimon Ben Gurion. This morning we learned from the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Vav that Nachdimon Ben Gurion was one of the three wealthy people in Yerushalayim. He could have sustained the city for 22 years. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ma'isa Bebito Shel Nachdimon Ben Gurion. There's a story with the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gurion. Shapasku lachacham arba meos zuhuvim lekupa shabasam lebay b'yam. That the rabbis, they gave to her, and they decided 400 gold pieces for her perfume for one day. What does that mean, lebay b'yam? For a specific day. What happened? The husband dies, and she wants to be able to be provided for. So they gave her, for just her makeup, for 400 zuz for one day. Amra lahem, she said to them, Kach tivsiku levenoisechem. This is what you should give your daughters. Meaning she wasn't happy with that amount. She thought it was a paltry amount. So she basically cursed them, that you should provide for your daughter so little. The thing is that everything is relative. So for her, she thought it was underwhelming, but for any other girl, it would be very generous. So the rabbi said, Amen. Amar lahem, so v'anu achra amen. They answered amen. Now in the story we had before in Samachay, when the same thing happened to Nachdim Ben Gurion's daughter-in-law, and they said, they gave her, when she said, they should do this to your daughters, they didn't say amen, because there she was a yavama, not just an almana. So an almana, it's not a good scenario, but at least an almana dies with children. At least an almana's husband dies with children. Over there, we're talking about yibam. So when she says, this is what they should do to you, the rabbis didn't want to answer amen, because she was a shemeres yavam. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There's a story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she'er roichev al hachamar. He was riding a donkey. V'hayo yoytze b'Yerushalayim. He was leaving Jerusalem. V'hayo tamidav mehalchen acharav. His students were following him. Ra'a riva achas. He saw a young girl. He saw a woman. Shehoysa malaketa so'irim ben gilei behema behemten shal arbiyam. She was gathering barley from the dung of animals of Arabs. Kivan Sharasa Isai. When she saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nis'atva Besara, She covered herself with her hair. Va'amda lefanav, and she stood before him. Amralai, she said, Rebbe Parnaseni, support me. So she hid her face, and she said, Rebbe, please, have rachmanas on me. Support me. Amrala, so Rebbe said to her, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to her, Biti bas miat, whose daughter are you? Amralai, she said to him, Bas Nakdimon ben Gurion, I'm the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Halach, basically, they couldn't believe it. She was so poor, and yet her father's the richest guy in town. Amralah, so he said to her, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to her, Mama shall be Savicha Echan Halach. Where did all your father's money go? How could you be the daughter of Nakdim and Ben Gurion and you're picking barley out of the dung of animals? Amralah, she said to him, Rabbi, Loi Kedain Maslin Misla B'Yushalayim? Was it not for nothing? Wasn't it for this? They give the mashal in Yushalayim? Don't they give the mashal in Yushalayim for this reason? Melach mamain chasar. The salt of money is losing the money. Meaning, salt is a preservative. How do you preserve your money? I said, preserve it. I invest it immediately so I could earn 0.00001% interest. I invest, that's how I preserve my money. No, the Gemara says the way you preserve your money is you give it away. That seems to be a little counterintuitive. I should preserve my money by giving it away. Yeah. Giving away your money is salt. Va'amrila chesed, or not missing your money, but kindness. So by giving tzedakah, it's a preservative. V'shal beis chami cheichanhu. What about your father-in-law's money? Amrila, she said, this one came and lost this one. Meaning our monies, the monies were commingled. And when my father lost his money, so then my father-in-law lost money. They were, the monies were in the same place. So since my father lost, my father-in-law lost it. Amrulay, Rebbe, she said to Rechem Zakkai, do you remember my chasana? Zachar ata, don't you remember kishach zachar? You know, you remember my chasana. Every Rosh Hashiva in the world was at my chasana. They flew in every Rosh Hashiva in the world on first class private jet. And you signed on my ksuba, kishach hasamta ksuba, so when you signed my ksuba. Amar lohen letalmidav. He said to his students, Zachar ani kishach hasamti al ksuba sa shazu. So he said to his students, I remember that when I signed on this girl's ksuba, v'hayisi kairiba, elef alafim dinare zahav, I would read in it, 1,000,000 dinar zahav, mi beis aviyah. Basically, her father sent into the marriage 1,000,000s. So what's 1,000 times 1,000? I believe 1,000,000, yeah? Do we have any accountants over here? 1,000,000 is a million dinar of zahav. I mean, it's a lot of money. Pure gold. Yeah? We're talking big bucks. What?
So she has the money. What does that have to do with her father losing the money, her father-in-law losing the money? If she has got the money, so you're telling me that she also lost the money? Why is it that we understand the father and the father lost the money, but she have all this, you know, she's got the big bucks. You know, what happened to her bank account?
I mean, very nice, he lost the money, but she's the one that he gave it to her already. And very nice, he didn't give tzedakah, so he lost his money, but what does that got to do with her? Chutz mishal chamia, besides what her father-in-law brought into the wedding. Bacha Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai cried, va'amar, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate is Israel. Bizman sha'oisen utzanish tamakum, when they do the will of God, Ein kolum avloshen shalata sahem. No nation could dominate them. Bizman she'eino yisrin son shemakam, when they don't do the will of God, moisrin biyad uma shvela, they are delivered into the hands of a lowly nation. V'loy biyad uma shvela, not just a lowly nation, ela biyad behemtan shel uma shvela, in the hands of the animals of a lowly nation. So basically, in this morning's Ion share, we discussed why is this called Ashreichem. We understand Ashreichem when we do the will of God. But what's the Ashreichem even if we are not doing the will of God? And the Marsha explains that the fact that we fall to the lowest Madrega when we don't do the will of God means that we are not connected at all to the Mazalos. We are totally connected to Hashem. So when we do what He wants, we have great success. We transcend the Mazal. When we don't do what He wants, and we let chait interrupt between us and Him, then we have no cause of existence because we're unconnected to the Mazalos. And our relationship solely with Hashem on both extremes, whether we're doing Ritzon Shamakim or not, is Ashreichem. Okay, we'll continue. We'll pick this up tomorrow, discussing Nachdimon Ben Gurion, why, in what way did he not give tzedakah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, thanks so much for coming. Bracha v'atzlacha. Shkayach. Thank you. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.